You are about to hear the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show, the fastest hour in radio. Join us right here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Friends, get your minds right because we make no apologies for what you are about to hear.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. You know, every time I play this song on this show, man, it feels so surreal because it seems like it's more and more coming a likelihood. Like, everybody wants to rule the world, but nobody knows how to get it done properly. You know, so friends, since Monday, the Federal Bureau of Investigation's raid on former President Donald Trump's home, there's been a lot of commentators, a lot of talking heads, a lot of politicians. And they've took to the airwaves. They're flooding the airwaves. Some are celebrating. Some are condemning. This whole concept of justice and how it really applies to political figures, I think, is the great big question. You know, some argue that the Department of Justice is just another arm of the Democratic Party that's utilized to silence potential political opponents. And, you know, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, based off the recent history, it is plausible. It is a very plausible argument that we're going to explore tonight. But friends, before we get there, as always, I want to go ahead and do some cheap plugs. The Philip D. Blackman Show is live right now on Facebook. We're live also on YouTube at youtube.com/C/ The Philip D. Blackman Show. Twitter and Twitch, again, at The PDB Show. Guys, we're everywhere. I do want to give a huge shout out to my affiliates who are covering the Philip D. Blackman Show. Guys, without you, we wouldn't be anywhere. So first and foremost, thank you guys so much. So if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show, social media is pretty good options. I recommend that for everyone. Or you can call or text the show at any time to the number on my screen, 409-245-9753. Again, my listeners across the airwaves, that is 409-245-9753. So again, to all my listeners, across the nation, around the globe, thank you so much for making the Philip D. Blackman Show what it is. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for joining us on this this hump day, episode number 277, Political Accountability in the Department of Justice. And we're asking the question, is there an unequal application to our laws? I certainly believe there is an unequal application, but real quick. So I do recognize that, we got Casey Starkey, Tammy, Jay Gibson, Big Rich, guys, thank you so much for joining. For us, you guys who haven't made yourself known, thank you so much. But for my first time listeners, you know, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. You know, last year, 2021, we had 633 officers die in the line of duty. We didn't really hear a whole lot about it. You know, I mean, yeah, a lot of them died of COVID, but then there were so many more that died of violence. You know, we don't ever really hardly hear, it seems like, about the violence against our police, but we hear about any drop of violence, any semblance of violence against that the police are guilty of doing, you know, and it's troublesome because 633 officers, man, that's a lot of people and that's a lot of family members who are affected. And the fact that we don't take, as a country, we don't take more time to recognize these heroes because that's what they are. They are heroes and they would probably argue with it. But you know what? Like my wife says, you can't choose my heroes for me. You know, and as of this show, we've lost 155. Now, these numbers that we get off the Officer Down Memorial page. And if you've ever been over there just to look at some of the faces of the fallen, you know, the ages of these people are, it's sad, you know, being a 43-year-old man looking at these are just regular kids, man. Just like some of you guys probably looked at veterans who were dying in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, World War II. They're kids. You know, they're supposed to have a good long life. But if you ever go to that webpage, the Officer Down Memorial page, you're going to see a quote, and we agree with it. And the quote says that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it's an entire nation. We agree. You know, we honor all of our officers who serve. You don't have to die to have the Philip D. Blackman show, the Blackman House, as a fan. But, you know, the purpose of these shows here is to highlight those officers who have given their life in service to their community and their country. We don't like doing these. We don't appreciate doing any of them. They're all heartbreaking. Tammy does all the research on them. She does the choosing, and she also does the voiceover work. I just take care of all the technical stuff. And we'd rather not do not a single one, but that's not the country we live in right now, especially with the political climate being what it is. But friends, without further ado, I want to get back. I want to get to covering this week. I want to continue our honoring of El Paso County, Colorado, Sheriff Deputy Andrew Peary in this opening segment. End of watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Deputy Sheriff Andrew Peary, 39, of the El Paso County Sheriff's Office in Colorado, who was shot and killed on August 7, 2022, while he responded to a shots fired call. Deputy Peary served his department for 6 years, and he also served as a member of the SWAT team. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser said, "Deputy Peary died a hero, serving and protecting the public. Our thoughts go to his family and his colleagues on their loss. May his memory live on as a blessing." Deputy Peary is survived by his wife and 2 children. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Deputy Peary. El Paso County Sheriff's Deputy Andrew Peary. End of watch, August 7th, 2022. Rest in peace, sir.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah! Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Do you ever look at just a snapshot in your life? Do you ever look at the snapshots that are a moment in time in our country. How many of you guys have done that where you, where you're trying to reflect at where we are as a country and where we are as a citizenry and think to yourself that this is not it. This is not the America that I grew up with. And I know how some in the left, some commentators, what you mean the racist, you know, get it. No, no, no. I'm talking about values. Values as a country, values as a populace, values as a people. You know, I used to sit back and yeah, I mean, I would hear, you know, as a kid, I would hear the adults talk about politics, and typically they were solely attacking the politician and not the party. And I think that, you know, based off the age of some of you folks out there that are tuned in or that are going to be going back listening, maybe it's my youth that's looking at our society going, man, we're becoming more and more intolerant. We're becoming more and more agitated. We're hating people for the sole purpose of their political affiliation, nothing else. You know, I remember looking at a lot of social media platforms, and like with Tammy, when she would go live on TikTok, you know, whether she's talking politics or she's talking anything in general, or she's just minding her business and painting. The biggest conversation that we always saw, the great starter point was, hi, what are your pronouns? You know, I recognize that we've lost our mind for a long time, but what are your pronouns? Because that determines that determines if you're worthy of their kindness, depending on how you put it. You know, I've watched my wife have an American flag in her background, kind of like mine, except hers was cloth, and she got attacked. I can't remember the cheesy, stupid line that they used to use, Tammy, but they say you had something on your wall, and it was derogatory, talking about the hate symbol. The stars and stripes. We've become so backwards as a country. And it's all political, every bit of it. And what's heartbreaking is I read a poll this morning when I was doing my study and when I was preparing for the show. And I read a poll from Echelon. It was a group. They polled 1,005 people, registered voters, in February of 2021, and they found the following facts that, you know, really it upset me. You know, I mean, starting, and you want to talk about the political differences. You know, people say, well, I don't know if I'm left or I'm right. I don't know if I'm conservative or I'm a Democrat or conservative or liberal. I don't know if I'm Republican or Democrat. I just don't know. Well, in this poll, they started with the most concerned, top issue concern for each voters. And Tammy writes in the chat, she said, I was asked my pronouns, my party affiliation, my vaccination status. I'm so much more than that. Roxanne in the chat, she says, they're so free to go to another country, spew their hatred, and see how long they last. Well, ask Brittany Griner. She didn't last very long. She wouldn't take the court. She won't take the court without the national anthem, but yet she wants America to help her out. But see, this is why I shouldn't read comments as I'm thinking, because I go off on a tangent. But, you know, starting with the most concerned top issues among voters. All right. So the first thing they did was Republicans. So the top most concerning issues for Republican voters in 2021, and I'd argue that it's probably still the same today in 2022. But the top issues are illegal immigration, the lack of support for police, high taxes, left-wing media bias, the moral decline of this country, socialism, Antifa, China, late-term abortion, election fraud, tech censorship, and discriminating against Christians. Those were the things that plague the minds of the 1,000 people that they polled, of the Republican voters. That's what they come with. So to put this into perspective, 81% of Republicans are extremely or very concerned with illegal immigration. Now, the very bottom issue of the poll for Republicans was Christian discrimination, and it still had a whopping 57% of extremely or very concerned classification. So I was like, okay, what does the other side say? Well, starting with the most concerned again, the top issues for Democrat voters, and I no joke, the top concerned issues from top to bottom: Trump supporters, white nationalism, systemic racism, gun violence, healthcare, domestic terror, police brutality, discrimination against the alphabet people, you know who they are, sexism, voter suppression, student debt, and capitalism. That is the Democrat. I want to read that list again, because in order from highest to lowest, for Republicans, the most concerning issues were illegal immigration, lack of support for police, high taxes, left-wing media bias, the moral decline of the country, socialism, Antifa, China, late-term abortion, election fraud, tech censorship, and discrimination against Christians. Democrats, however, their biggest concern from top down were Trump supporters picked up number one, followed by white nationalism and systemic racism. Well, really, if they wasn't being so lazy, they could have brought it all into one category, those three. But, you know, you could add gun, but they also say gun violence, health coverage, domestic terror, police brutality, discrimination against the alphabet people, sexism, voter suppression, student debt, and capitalism. A full 82% of Democrats, they are extremely or very concerned with Trump supporters. And either great minds think alike or simple ones share the same thought. And right there it is. This is the point I was getting to. Tammy hits it right here in the chat. She said, it seems like the left has their priorities effed up. Roxanne Kirby says, it blows my mind. Where would the snowflakes be without all those things you just listed? I'm guessing in hell with gasoline draws on. But that tells you the different priorities for that, the way people are checking the pulse of this country. So this thing freaking out the left more than anything else is the fact that you and I exist. The fact that we're Trump supporters, or we were Trump supporters. The fact that we Republican voters, the fact that we conservative identifiers, the fact that we share the country with the Democrat voters, number one. It's not global warming or world hunger, for so much for the woke crew, you know, because all these social experiments, you know, neither a global warming or world hunger made the list. But no, what's freaking out Democrats more than anything else is us. People who dare to think differently, people who dare to vote differently, who speak and believe differently, who do their homework. Listen to all of you conservatives, to all of you right leaners, to you Republican voters. Listen to me. It's over. It's over. The idea that the political right can reason or shame the left into being at least halfway decent or into not hating us, it's over. That ship has sailed. It sailed Monday. You know, numbers like this, they perfectly explain why Republicans are being blacklisted and canceled. You know, why we are being disappeared from the dominant culture, social media, which is a hostile culture to us. They're afraid of us. They hate us this much, and they see us as that big of a threat. Have you seen the latest FBI domestic terror list? We're going to get to that at the end of the show, but we actually, as conservatives, as Republican voters, as Christians, it's time to disengage from this dominant culture, because no amount of pleading is going to make a little bit of difference. The full-blown assault on our liberties, our freedoms, at the very hands of these Democrat-run governments and these hostile mega corporations, it's only getting worse. I mean, Jesus Christ, when you've convinced yourself that the other side is Hitler, then you can do what Democrats do. The media, academia, Hollywood, and big tech have done. You convince yourself that it's okay to be Hitler, to fight Hitler. You know, these same Democrats who created Jim Crow to express their hate and to hold on to the power, they're desperate to segregate and subjugate us for the exact same reasons.
Why is this important? Because since 2008, I argue that we've seen a lot of corruption that's got covered up while no one was ever held accountable. Benghazi, IRS targeting the Tea Party, the DOJ secretly obtaining phone records of reporters and editors with the Associated Press. We forgot about that, didn't we? The big lie about the Affordable Care Act. The NSA spying. Operation Fast and Furious that saw Border Patrol agent Brian Terry killed with one of the 2,000 firearms that were actually sold back to smugglers and drug cartels. And that's just to name a few of them. So Big Rich says, since the advent of welfare system, the Big D has shown their supporters that they need Big D handout to live. This is where their headspace and timing sits. Yeah, we've created a nanny state. But, you know, then we saw the incoming president. He was of a different political party, Donald Trump, who we're talking about. And, you know, they had discussions on his impeachment before he was even sworn in. And then since then, we've had 7 straight years of high dollar investigations and accusations with promises of leaving no stone unturned of a presidential candidate, a sitting president and now former president still being investigated almost 2 years after he's left office. And all this stuff I just named, this is still going on. And so the optics, they start to suggest to the Democratic Party, they're willing to set themselves up as the party of law and order and rules as long as it's not their guy in office. Now, I'm not suggesting that Donald Trump's been innocent or he's run a clean campaign, but or even a presidency. I won't even attempt to defend a lot of Donald Trump's statements and actions because, like all politicians, there have been more shenanigans than it's possible to keep up with. But right now, we're seeing something very different take place in this country that rightfully so has a lot of Americans nervously talking about something brand new. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of talk here recently about the possibilities of a civil war being on the horizon, especially since Monday. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, Tammy and I, we've discussed the very notion, you know, quite a bit just on our back porch in the last few years. I mean, during the 2016 election, I started hearing conversation that I hadn't heard before, and it got under my skin. Not because I fit into any category that was discussed, but because I recognized what the magnitude of what was really happening. I recognized the magnitude of what was really said. Here's what I mean.
Be grossly generalistic. You can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
It was then that I realized it has now come to this. She said to be grossly generalistic. You can put half of Trump supporters in what I call the basket of deplorables, right? Racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. This was the 2016 version of if you ain't for me, then you ain't black, except it wasn't a race that got shit on. It was an entire political entity, the entire opposition to her party. It wasn't that she just said that she was attacking half of her political opponent supporters. No, no, no. She went to the other half, too. She said, quote, the other basket of people are people who feel that the government has let them down. The economy has let them down. Nobody cares about them. Nobody worries about what happens to their lives and their futures. And they're just desperate for change, end quote. You know, this was a political moment where our country was divided on itself. Coming from a presidency of Barack Obama, where two polarizing figures, right? You have a lifetime Democratic hustler who's responsible for more deaths than COVID by way of suicide, and former Secretary of the State and Senator and the First Lady. I don't know, and former presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton. And on the other side, you know, since 1987, he'd been registered with the Republican Party. And then he was an independent and then a Democrat and then a Republican and back to independent. And then finally got back to Republican. But he was a multi-time, multi-billionaire because you got to rebuild after filing bankruptcy. Icon to the stars and new face of the Red Party, Donald Trump. Very polarizing, very polar opposite people. You know, half of the people, they wanted Clinton to win the presidency because she provided a lifeline of political experience. And that's really all she knows since she's been making moves since she was in college. Hillary Clinton, a woman which attracted the so-called woke mob. And she's a fixture of the Democratic Party who could use Obama's record for what it was as a talking point for her success. The other half wanted Donald Trump because he was not a lifetime member of D.C. He wasn't part of the swamp. He wasn't a politician. He represented the greatest idea among all Americans, drain the swamp. Man, Americans have been, regardless of party, they've been talking about it. All right, so well, let's see which way this goes. All right, hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. What do you got?
Good. I would like to talk about the Trump raid thing.
Okay, let's hear about it.
Okay, so I think that the Donald Trump thing, raid thing is, I think is like a thing that they shouldn't have done because the raid was really unnecessary, and I think that the media and the fake news media is trying to all create some substance for it.
All right, so
like because it was like a big thing in the media.
All right, so caller, what's your name? Just the first name's all I need, or something I can call you by.
Kevin.
All right, Kevin. All right, so Kevin, I'm going to get into that here in a moment, and to be quite honest with you, there's not really a lot of information that's come out. So what is it about this raid that has got you saying that, hey, this probably wasn't the right thing?
Well, I've been looking at Truth Social and all the Twitter stuff and all the stuff on that, and people have been saying that it's a third world leader thing, and I think that's true. I think that this is just another thing for everybody to think, or for Biden to try to defeat Trump, or all the Democrats try to make Trump not run for 2024.
And Kevin, that was going to be the question I ask you. What do you think was the motivation behind it? And I think you just answered. Please go ahead.
The MIDI thing and also the Trump 2024 thing, so he doesn't run again.
Well, you know, I'm inclined to believe to agree with you, Kevin. I think this is purely political. And the only reason that we see a raid and kind of the point that I'm getting ready to come up to, you know, we're seeing a lot of Democratic, we're seeing a lot of assaults on Republican members, members of their cabinets, of their voters. But we're not really seeing the threshold go the other way. I mean, so do you see if there's any discrepancy as far as the execution of our justice system? Do you see anything like that going on? Do you think it's one-sided?
Yeah, a lot of it, yes.
Well, yeah. I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one that's having these thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I do appreciate you for tuning in and absolutely for calling. Thank you so much for your comment. And, man, feel free to call anytime. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Hey, excellent comment, you know. Yeah. But we were talking about the two polarizing parts, right? We already talked about Hillary Clinton, but then we had Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump was an outsider. You know, he was taking on the big political machine of D.C. And in essence, he was able, he had the ability to parrot and to capitalize on Americans' distrust of our government and lack of transparency that the Obama administration had brought to the previous 8 years. America was divided because neither side trusted each other. And then we have that moment.
Be grossly generalistic. You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
You know, what was so upsetting about that is that again, it's no longer about a political opponent. It's everybody that supports the idea of something different than them. I feel like this right here was the first shot. I mean, now granted, Republicans, when this happened, man, they jumped at the offense of the words that she said. And even Donald Trump took ads of Hillary Clinton saying the exact same thing. And Clinton, of course, she apologized, but the media, they didn't think that she should have. They protected her. They even attacked Hillary Clinton for issuing her apology. But for me, you know, that was the first time that I could actually recall a candidate running for any office to alienate their opposition's base. You know, I've seen attacks on the candidate themselves, which is, again, nothing new. But I really believe that this was the moment that an establishment-approved political leader openly mocked and admitted on national television their immense disdain for anyone who doesn't align with their political beliefs, and now they're supported by the mainstream media. I mean, just days after Clinton made her statement, there's a left-leaning digital commentators on the website Vox. They wrote in defense of Clinton, quote, "One spiel, the one that includes the phrase deplorables, it's intended to set the stage for a rhetorical pivot to the idea of the vast majority of Trump supporters aren't deplorable. She wants to say that we are mostly simply confused. They're frustrated by the political status quo as they are frustrated by the political status quo as is she, and she hopes that if she wins the she can deliver change and prosperity and with them and win them over despite their doubts." Guys, I swear I know how to read. But in another article that was done by The Guardian, for example, they write, 1 year later is the second band of insurrectionists, the ones wearing suits and ties that pose the most serious threat. The next attempted coup will not be a violent overthrow of the Capitol, but a carefully plotted and even technically legal one, subverting the election machinery and exploiting various constitutional loopholes. It is well underway. Its plotters have learned important lessons from the last year's rushed and often buffoonish dress rehearsal. New laws have been passed by state legislatures under the pretext of halting election fraud that will instead abet the next big lie. It's frighteningly imaginable to see how it succeeds. You know, and there it is. You know, there's countless other articles that are out there with the drive-by media and these politicians that are constantly making the big bad wolf a Republican Party. And that, I feel like that right there is why we have these people with these ideas, with these thoughts, with these concerns that something bad is coming around the corner. You know, and I agree with what Tammy's saying in the chat. She said, you know what, with that basket of deplorables, that's such a bitch thing to say. And she's absolutely right. But then, you know, not only, you know, there's again unbelievable amounts of articles, you know, demonizing the other, and but this right here, this is something different. The rhetoric, the tone, the constant barrage of those guys are bad and they're an assault on democracy and Republicans. Even Eric Swalwell, you remember the guy who is part of the intelligence committee still, but he had like a 2-year affair with a Chinese spy named Fang Fang. This guy is going to come out and try to make a statement about anything, blows me away. But no shame, because this guy, just what, like yesterday, I think it was, he jumped in on the action by calling Republicans the party of violence. I mean, I guess he was able to take time from sleeping with the Chinese spy to release a statement, but this is what he said.
Yeah, it's very clear that Republicans have recognized that they can no longer win elections with votes, and so they're leaning in hard to try and win elections with violence, and they're fomenting that violence right now with the threats they're making against the attorney general, with the online chatter that you continue to see, with the failure to even condemn it on their side. And I see it in my own social media channels where the threats have escalated since Donald Trump's residence was searched. And this is who they are now. They are a chaos party. Chaos is arming to the teeth most Americans with AR-15s and letting our children. Chaos is January 6th. Chaos is government-mandated pregnancies. Chaos is forcing Americans to spend $14,000 a year on insulin to just own the libs. And chaos is the leaders of the party arguing that we need to defund the FBI. They don't want community They want chaos, and that's what the fallout's going to be from.
Does that sound right? That the Republicans are a party of chaos. The Republicans are the party that wants to defund the FBI, or much less the police. The Republican Party are the violent guys.
You are seeing now these images came and come in stark contrast to what we saw over the course of the daytime hours in Kenosha and into the early evening, which were largely peaceful demonstrations in the face of law enforcement. It wasn't until night fell that things began to get a little bit more contentious. Things were thrown back and forth.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking unruly, but fires have been started and there's.
Yeah, those are Republican voters. I saw a lot of MAGA hats throughout all the coverage there of MSNBC and CNN. But, you know, Roxanne Kirby, she hits it. She says the Dems will turn inside out to protect anything their party does. Conservatives will help put the cuffs on Republicans who do wrong. Tammy says, what a hypocrite. Most Americans are armed with AR-15s. What freaking world does he live in? Idiots. I'm thinking he lives in the same world that Sheila Jackson Lee lives in, where it's AR-15 weighs as much as 10 boxes and shoots a 50 caliber bullet. And again, just. I don't think I'll ever be able to get away from the idea when they talk about how when they say that an AR-15 weighs as much as 10 moving boxes and shoots a 50 caliber bullet. Again, this is a 50 caliber bullet. This is what shoots an AR-15. Now, this isn't a 50 cal. I mean, this is a replica, but it's a pen, so don't call ATF on me, but I don't, you know, still. And again, Tammy even talks about it in the chat. She says, peaceful ain't shit. People is shit's peaceful as shit's burning behind him. And I'll let her fill in that. But all right. So here's where we're getting to it. As Kevin alluded to earlier, you know, on Monday, we saw another instance of an agency within the federal government, more notably the Federal Bureau of Investigations and the Department of Justice. They raided the home of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago address. Okay. Well, there's still not a lot of information about it, and that kind of blows me away that at this point there's not a lot of information after, you know, this is Wednesday. 2 days have gone by and still no information has been released surrounding this raid. Like with Paul Manafort and Roger Stone and, you know, the federal government conducting an unnecessary raid for the sole purpose of producing the shot value and the campaign ammo that even if Donald Trump decides to run again. Not a lot of voters. It seems like our Department of Justice, the federal law enforcement agencies that they control, seems like they're very one-sided to me. And I don't know. I mean, are we to believe our lying damn eyes that there's a thumb on the scale of justice based solely off your political party's affiliation? Or is it just one side who's guilty of always breaking the law? Let's get into that question in this segment, The Breakdown. All right, so details are very scarce about the raid of Donald Trump's home that happened on Monday, because I've been searching, I've been keeping an eye on all breaking news articles covering the event, because I care more about reporting the story right than I do about reporting it first. But this is what I found so far, and it weaves itself into the point that we're making on this show very nicely. The raid was reportedly sparked by an ongoing probe into box loads of materials that the ex-president allegedly took with him to Florida when he left the White House, including notes from a North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un. You've heard about the love letters, even a cocktail napkin. Now, showdown over the materials, it first erupted back in January. I don't know if you remember hearing about this, but this first happened in January when the National Archives said that it had retrieved 15 boxes back of White House records back in January, including classified information from that Mar-a-Lago address. And they argue that Trump should have turned it over at the time. Okay. Now, the feds took another 12 boxes of material on Monday. Like 50 agents, 15 trucks, a Ryder truck, you know, they come ready. You know, some of the items recovered in January, they included correspondence from, again, Kim Jong-un, a letter from Barack Obama that he'd written to his successor, and a list of unclassified items that were found in boxes. It was about 100 pages long, and it included a cocktail napkin and a birthday dinner menu that they recovered in January. So can you see why all this is important stuff the National Archives needs to grab a hold of? Cocktail napkins and dinner menus? I mean, the other items include, you know, schedules and a phone list, letters, memos, talking points, slide deck schedules. Very important stuff. An inventory list of classified materials was roughly 3 pages long, but there's no immediate details on what that information entitled. You know, as long as it's been reported, the agents, they had, you know, with the revelation of National Archives, which, by the way, is in charge of collecting that personal material, they set off this months-long Justice Department probe into whether Donald Trump was illegally storing classified information at his private club and estate. Now the investigators are reportedly told they allegedly visited Mar-a-Lago early in June to meet with Trump's attorneys about turning over more potentially classified information. And as a matter of fact, I even read where they just met him, earlier this week or last week. They met him in the early last week as well. And Trump even stopped by and say hi and greet the feds at that meeting before the investigators were taken to a basement where allegedly there were documents that were stored. Now, 5 days later, Trump's attorneys were asked by the FBI to secure that room where the documents were. Why didn't they take them then? But okay. And the FBI then they sought out a search warrant for this raid that happened Monday, and they felt that they weren't getting the same level of cooperation from Trump's side as they were before. Now, to hear both sides, talk about it, they were communicating, they were exchanging sides. And to Kevin's point, this really feels funky, right? What was the point? What was the reason? The investigators believe that additional classified information could still be at Trump's estate. So really, since it's unclear what they seized when they executed the latest search warrant back in January, it's hard to figure out what they took this time. But what we do know is they didn't stop around to look for anything. They just grabbed what they thought is important. And I got to tell you, friends, I've studied enough criminal law. I've studied enough case law to know. And by the way, I'm not a lawyer, but I've studied enough to know there is no broad scoped warrant that says, just go in and pick out whatever you want. It has to be very specific. And the fact that they didn't spend time to look and they didn't let the lawyers go in, as Roxanne says, they wouldn't let his lawyers be present. It's hard to know what was taken and why it was taken. What are you looking for in Melania Trump's closets? I'm not sure. But the Washington Post reported that the FBI took about 12 boxes from that locked basement on Monday. And they allegedly grabbed, again, just whatever boxes and documents they wanted to, and they took off. I'm assuming to go through later. But the fact is that no one really knows what all the documentation was taken, and it leaves more questions than answers. And unfortunately, the repercussions of this raid, they're already showing up. They're enormous. Any pretense that the Department of Justice has not been weaponized as a political Praetorian guard for the Democrats, it's been shattered to pieces. This is well beyond partisan politics. The left has effectively declared open warfare on the rule of law and, equally importantly, fair elections. I mean, naturally, there's people whose faces are melting off because this raid, while others from Stephen Colbert to Hillary Clinton, they're feeling vindicated and bubbly since this raid happened. I'd like to wait, really, until we can get more answers before I decide which side's right. And the reason why is because, and this is the part that I think Kevin and my wife was talking about, and probably some of you, and you've had to have seen it on social media, section 2071, Title 18, the U.S. Code says that anyone who, quote, willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, falsifies, or destroys any documents obtained through public office has committed a crime. Now, among the penalties is disqualification from holding any office of the United States. So the argument is that Donald Trump is going to be barred from, again, pursuing a second term in the White House if he's convicted of violating the law. But that's not how it works, folks. Even the experts are weighing in. They're calling it as ridiculous as they did back in 2015 when Hillary Clinton got nabbed for doing the exact same thing. But, it's the Constitution, not Congress, first and foremost, who determines who can run for president. And while, trying to apply the law to the president is almost certain to fail any legal challenge. Here's what the section of the law that the U.S. Constitution have to say about qualifications for office. So first and foremost, removing records. Under that section of federal law, anyone who has federal records and who willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, falsifies, or destroys the same is in violation of the law. The penalties for violating that law can carry a potential fine and a maximum prison sentence of 3 years. Now, the law also says that anyone convicted under the law has got to forfeit office and must be disqualified from holding any office under the United States. Well, here is the problem. There's a constitutional question. Because the Constitution, it lays out there's only three requirements for a presidential candidate. They got to be a natural-born citizen. They have to have lived in the United States at least 14 years, and they must be at least 35 years old. And here's where I see the problem. And I believe I'm not alone in this observation. There is an apparent unequal application of our laws when it comes to political offenders. Tammy says in the chat, I'm very surprised they didn't do this raid while he was there to further embarrass him. I think if Donald Trump had been there, I don't really think it would have had changed the temperature unless they could get pictures of Donald Trump standing outside his house. Absolutely. You might be right. Roxanne says, when are they going to raid Barama, Hillary, Biden, and Hunter? Great question. But here's one for you. I got one I want to ask you guys. Why is nobody asking this simple question? Are the tens of thousands of National Archive records that were destroyed by the former Obama administration, is that a cover-up for corruption for Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election, or the removal of every scrap of truth that the Russiagate investigation was a total fabrication? Why is nobody asking that? I mean, how is it even possible for tens of thousands of key records of Obama's administration to go missing from the National Archives, and it's crickets? Nothing happens. The United States is a nation. It's a nation. It's not a movie. But if it were a movie, we have seen this movie before. The records are missing. Although the perps have been identified, they're getting to go off scot-free. And even the guy, David Fierro, even under the Obama administration, he openly admitted in 2018, there were tens of thousands of records that have gone missing 2 years after Obama left office. The mainstream and social media, they yawned at the story. Something of this magnitude had never happened in the history of our country. The Western Journal, they actually wrote that the archivist in charge of transferring, former President Barack Obama's records into the National Archives has run across a serious problem, according to the report that was published. They said that a lot of records from Obama's office were missing. The author, Lipscomb, wrote that the accumulation of congressional testimony has made it clear that the Obama administration itself engaged in a wholesale destruction. Wholesale destruction was the words he used, and loss of tens of thousands of government records covered under the act, as was the intentional invasion of the government records recording system by engaging in private email exchanges. But guess who else was involved, fellow citizens? In that same report, President Barack Obama, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former Attorney General Lynch, several other EPA officials, they've been named as offenders. Where was their raid? It appears that some people, they've committed crimes much more serious than the Democratic-run indictments. And as always, they're unafraid. And that list by no means is comprehensive. Includes, the list of the likes of Hillary Clinton and James Comey and Clapper and Brennan and Steele and Stroke and Page and McCabe, Mr. and Miss Orr, Susan Rice, Yates. Some of these people, they're guilty of lying to Congress or the FBI, mishandling classified information, obstruction, conspiracy, destroying evidence, and so much more. And a case could be made that the FBI and the Department of Justice under Mueller, by the way, they themselves destroyed evidence when it wiped clean Peter Strzok and Page's cell phones to delete text messages that were requested by the Attorney General. But being a Democrat, it means you never have to say you're sorry, because the rule of law only applies to Republicans and conservatives. There's no pre-dawn gun-drawn raid to arrest Democrats that I've been able to find anywhere, and hopefully you guys have, and send it to me. And Tammy hits it, man. Fine for me, but not for thee. Roxanne says, but nothing ever happens to them, and it hasn't. Hillary Clinton sold 80% of America's uranium for a 20-minute, $500,000 Moscow speech by her husband, and $140 million in donations to the Clinton Foundation, which, by the way, wasn't really a charity of any meaningful sense, unless, of course, the charitable purpose was to enrich Bill and Hillary, but I digress. Was there any investigation? I mean, in the contravention of campaign finance laws, Hillary Clinton paid, through her attorneys, millions of dollars to a foreign national to use his connections with a foreign government to compile a fabricated dossier where both the foreign national and the foreign government could interfere with a presidential election. Investigation, anyone? I mean, she knew her bathroom server was illegal and a risk to national security, but she wanted to keep her crime secret. You know, mishandling of classified information and the wholesale flea marketing of her office and the influence are imprisonable offenses. Yet, what difference does that make at this point, does it, Hillary? She's exempt from prosecution because she's a Democrat. She's a bona fide leftist. And that provides a blanket immunity. And she knew, as the others did in the Obama administration, that a Democrat just can't get arrested in D.C. no matter what they're doing. You know, one can act with impunity when there's no fear of prosecution. I mean, so if that's the case, why not harvest those ballots and steal the elections? Why not provide sanctuary for felonious illegal aliens? Why not lie to Congress? Or why not try to frame a president? Wait a minute. These are things they've already done. You know, they never worry about a financial ruin or the Department of Justice going after their families like they did with General Flynn. You know, Sally Yates, she opened the Flynn investigation under the pretense that he violated the Logan Act, a 1799 law widely believed as unconstitutional, and it was never, ever been successfully used to prosecute anyone but General Flynn. And a law that he didn't violate since, really, he was talking to a Russian ambassador as part of his job as a national security advisor. But yet John Kerry and his negotiations with the mullahs after Trump canceled the Iran deal absolutely ignored. You know, real crimes, they go unaddressed. While misstatements about lawful actions, they warrant incarceration. Mueller, he's fond of the false statement charges where there was an underlying actions. They're not really illegal. So he loosely interprets the definition of a lie. Isn't that convenient? General Flynn was indicted for lying about lawful actions, as was Stone, as was Papadopoulos. Cohen was indicted for testifying negotiations over a Moscow Trump Tower ended in January of 2016, and then when they ended in June. George Papadopoulos told investigators a conversation with a suspected CIA spy, Joseph Milford was his name. It took place prior to him joining the Trump campaign when he knew before their meeting that it was an appointment was imminent. Roger Stone testified that he had contact with people solely by phone when he also spoke via email and text. So let's do a raid. He claimed to have used a single intermediary communicating with WikiLeaks when he actually used to. He didn't, you know, he said he didn't discuss the conversations with the intermediary when he actually did. Those are three of the seven charges, but most of the DOJ's and Mueller's charges and their indictments, they're process crimes, which came about as a result of his investigation. So by making people fear that they might have committed a crime, the FBI and the DOJ, they have a huge, long history of inducing people to lie so they can be indicted and turned against the real target, Donald Trump. Yo, Clapper, he lied to Congress, as did Brennan and Comey, who can only remember things when he has about a $15 million book to write. McCabe, he lied to the IG. Barack Obama weaponized federal agencies to attack his political opponents. Hillary Clinton sold her office as the Secretary of State for money. Peter Strzok disregarded his oath of office, and he used his power to attempt to destroy Donald Trump. In fact, he guaranteed he'd destroy Trump. Then testimony before Congress, he smirked with more arrogance than any Covington kid could ever muster. Yet, no arrest. Hillary Clinton destroyed her phones and her illegal server. Comey leaked classified FBI memos to impel the appointment of his best bro as special counsel. Again, no indictments. Did I mention the elected anti-Semite Islamic congresswoman who married her brother to commit immigration fraud? You know, and even Tammy hits it here. Eric Holder, too. You know he destroyed some stuff just in case he had to answer for what he did. Just saying. And that's why he's so brave and emboldened right now, Tammy, to come out and make statements all the time. But apparently in today's America, the only people that should fear prosecution are really truly those who disagree with the ones that we've been waiting for. Because if you're a Democrat, you can't get arrested in D.C. And that's the breakdown. Guys, stick around. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about your balls. Are they smooth or covered in bits of annoying fluff? These are my balls. See how they glisten in the light? Your balls can be like these. But you got to use the right tools for the job. This? No. This? No. This? Only if that's what you're into. Balls are delicate, sensitive, easy to damage.
Someone's taking a chunk out of that one.
That's why I use the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got skin-safe technology with a replaceable ceramic blade.
So you can trim
with confidence. It's got an LED light, so you can always see what you're doing. Lights, please! And what's more, it's got a wireless charging system and it's waterproof. You can even drop it in your pint. You wouldn't want to drink it, though. It's got pubes in it. The Manscaped Lawnmower is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. That's over 4 million balls. Isn't it time you join them and use the right tools for the job? Because when it comes to balls, you don't want to muck about.
Go to manscaped.com and check out the all-new Lawnmower 4.0 and receive free shipping.
All righty, guys. Welcome back. Episode number 277. Guys, we're hitting it right now talking about the political weaponization of our DOJ and FBI. And so, guys, again, welcome. Happy Hump Day. 409-245-9753. If you want to join the call. If you want to join the conversation, either call in or continue to write in social media, and we'll continue to you know, do what we can to recognize your questions and comments. Now, look, whether it's and I just got a I got notification that because the show is the subject matter, we are going to go beyond the top of the hour, not too much longer, but I wanted to complete this show. So, you know, whether it's colluding with Hillary Clinton to damage the presidency of Donald Trump, or really putting up roadblocks to keep Joe Biden's family corruption off the radar, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has lost sight of its mission. It was once a respected organization dedicated to justice, dedicated to the law. And some fear that the Bureau, it's now really nothing more than a political arm of the Democratic Party. And we've actually seen Senator Chuck Grassley. He's actually came out as a ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he released a statement revealing that multiple FBI whistleblowers, including those in senior positions, are raising the alarm about tampering by senior FBI and Justice Department officials in politically sensitive investigations ranging from election and campaign finance probes across multiple election cycles to investigate activity involving derogatory information on Hunter Biden's financial and foreign business activities. Now, Mr. Grassley is also pressing Merrick Garland to appoint a special counsel to further investigate the Bidens. Not going to happen. Not until the midterms, at least. You know, Grassley sent a letter to Merrick Garland, and in part of it, he said, quote, "The information provided to my office involves concerns about the FBI's receipt and use of derogatory information relating to Hunter Biden, the FBI's false portrayal of acquired evidence as disinformation." Remember, they're talking about the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. They've had the laptop for the past 2 years, but nothing has been released, no conversations, no discussions, nothing. And Grassley's concerns include FBI officials making social media posts that are critical of conservatives and launching partisan investigations into Republicans, i.e. Peter Strzok. But back to the whistleblowers. If true, Margot Cleveland of the Federalist writes, she says, quote, "Beyond exposing the FBI's role in running cover for the Biden family, the whistleblowers' claims prove significant for a key reason. By failing to thoroughly vet the evidence in his possession related to Hunter Biden, the intelligence community ignored momentous national security threat, namely the Russians potentially possessing a second Hunter Biden laptop." Wow. Now, this effort it deceived the good people within the FBI who are merely following orders, of course, but it also involved the intentional political hackery. And Cleveland adds that the agents improperly shut down sources. They falsely framed evidence as disinformation and hid the reasoning for that determination from other FBI agents behind restricted areas, meaning that not everyone had she's not calling the entire department corrupt. She's calling the senior leadership. And, you know, Chuck Grassley, he isn't the only one who's concerned about the FBI. Did you Did you check out, have you guys seen where Ted Cruz, he actually questioned Ray, the FBI director. He accused the organization of targeting patriotic Americans in a training manual, identifying the Betsy Ross and the Gadsden flags as representative of violent extremism. Now, in case you're wondering, if for those of you on the radio audience, you can't see this pamphlet, but the militia violent extremism document that they handed out, if you look hard enough, you don't see Black Lives Matter and you don't see Antifa symbols. They're not included. But Ted Cruz went after Director Ray. Check this out.
Now, these symbols weren't things like the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party, which naturally would be symbols of that. But instead, they included, rather astonishingly, patriotic symbols of our nation and our history. Included on this list is the Betsy Ross flag. Now, that's fairly remarkable that the Betsy Ross flag in the FBI's indication is indicative of militia violent extremism, because among other people who have been publicly alongside the Betsy Ross flag, we have President Barack Obama, who was sworn in directly underneath two Betsy Ross flags. But it's not just President Obama. We also have President Biden, who was sworn in under Betsy Ross flags. Also on this list is the Gadsden flag. The state of Virginia has a license plate for the Gadsden flag, as do many other states. I think people would be astonished to find that having that license plate, the FBI indicates that you're a violent extremist. Also included on this is a text that I was particularly struck, is the Gonzales battle flag. Come and take it. I will self-report right now that every day in the Senate, I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. Director Ray, what are y'all doing? This makes no sense. Do you agree with this FBI guidance?
And what he said was, just because you have these symbols, and right here on the left side, it says the use of sharing these symbols alone should not independently be considered evidence of militia violent extremism or affiliation to, or serve as an indicator of illegal activity. So, ladies and gentlemen, rather you're on the right side of the slide. Let me see if I can blow this up for you. On the right side of the slide, if you're one of those people that have the three percenter signs or the American contingency or the Oath Keeper or the Lightfoot Militia, I've never heard of that last one, but if you ever heard of any of these, then if you have these logos on your vehicle, the FBI checks you, they recognize you as a militia violent extremism. Isn't that something? This pamphlet. Militia violent extremism. You know, clearly something must be done. You know, we need to trust that the FBI and the DOJ, you know, they're fighting to uphold the rule of law. You know, rather involving Democrats or Republicans, but right now, Americans are rightfully losing trust in the FBI. So to more pointedly speak on this pamphlet, This pamphlet that's on my screen, the FBI Militia Violent Extremism, it was actually leaked to Project Veritas, and it shows that the updating guidance for law enforcement officials of the symbols in the list. Now, granted, this is unclassified, law enforcement sensitive, FBI internal use only, it says. This is a pamphlet that, you know, very similar. If you've ever been in the military, you've seen stuff like this. If you've ever been in law enforcement, you've seen stuff like this. This is nothing new. To get these bullet lists out there. But the updated guidance for law enforcement officials, the symbols and the list of who they consider domestic terrorists. I mean, like Cruz already said, the Triple K, the Nazi Party, you know, white supremacy is the existential threat in our country, existential threat to our democracy. Why is the Triple K and Nazi Party not on here? Why is Black Lives Matter or Antifa, who, by the way, is responsible, both organizations are responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars in damage during the 2020 riots. You know, this list is honestly shocking. Though at the point we should be shocked by anything the FBI does, I mean, it's almost feeling like I'm taking crazy pills. They have Ashley Babbitt. She's a former Air Force Security Force member, an Air Force cop. According to this right here, she's considered a martyr by militia violent extremists. And the Second Amendment now has militias justify, quote, justify their existence because of a reference to a well-regulated militia and the right to bear arms. This is on the pamphlet. You know, the thing about Ashley Babbitt, again, I don't know who in the world is calling her a martyr, but I have argued time and time again, she kind of had that one coming. You know, look, you got one cop, you know, 15 rounds max, well, 16, which is 15 plus one in the chamber, and he's got a mob on the other side of a door. At some point, he's going to have to start getting people's attention. Ashley Babbitt fucked around and found out. That's just the way that is. You know, the Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide, you know, again, Project Veritas, they released this graphic right here on their website. And again, the Gadsden flag, the Betsy Ross flag, the Liberty Tree. And as you can see at the very bottom of the second page, this particular leaked document's labeled, again, FBI internal use only, unclassed, law enforcement sensitive. So the FBI whistleblower who released this document, they risk sending this document, obviously. But they wanted American citizens to see just how the Bureau really classifies us and deems us as militia violent extremists. You know, some of the most confusing and honestly infuriating of all the symbols, the Gadsden flag. You know, that red right down there with the yellow one. Let's see if I can blow it up here. The yellow, yeah, right above my logo. The yellow flag with the snake on it. That's the Gadsden flag. The Revolutionary War images, Betsy Ross flag. You know, everybody remembers learning about the Revolutionary War and why those farmers with pitchforks, they fought back against tyrants, right? So they didn't end up where we are today. Under the common phrase and references on the second page, this one got me. Ashley Babbitt, she is cited as a person that militant, violent extremists call a martyr. Now, some of the phrases and references are even more ridiculous, you know, or events that the FBI deems to be very, you know, to be used by very patriotic American citizens. I mean, militia violent extremists. And one of them is that, you know, we already mentioned Ashley Babbitt. That's done. The document, it makes reference to Dunn and Limp. Now, Dunn and Limp, March 12th of 2020, Montgomery County Police Department, their SWAT team, they raided his home. No knock warrant. Shot him while he was sleeping. And the police said that Limp, he confronted an officer during the execution of the raid, so they shot him. But because he's a white guy, we don't really give a shit. Now, they also mentioned Ruby Ridge and Waco as significant events. In 1992, Ruby Ridge in Idaho, it was a standoff between friends and family of Randy Weaver and the FBI and ATF, U.S. Marshals. Now, Weaver's 14-year-old son, Sammy, was killed during the exchange of gunfire, and his wife, Vicky, was actually shot and killed by an FBI sniper. Again, I'm not real sure where the violent extremists regard this date. February 28, 1993, another standoff between federal authorities and a religious group known as the Branch Davidians. That happened, remember? Six Branch Davidians and four ATF agents were killed in just the initial shootout. Now, the use of sharing these symbols alone, it shouldn't independently be considered as evidence that militia violent extremism presence of affiliation or even serves as an indicator. But basically every symbol or quote used to inspire Americans to defeat the British or to throw off the chains of tyranny, it's now considered extremist. It wasn't enough that it was just parents at school board meetings, but now they're going after the symbols. And this is where I'm going to encourage you. If you are a Republican, if you are a conservative, if you are a right-leaning voter, I want you to be better than what we're seeing. So if you got the hashtag FJB, if you got or anything along those realm, if you got that 3%er tag, if you got all that stuff, man, get rid of it. Not out of fear, but because you're trying to be more responsible. You know, a lot of my political shows that we do, we talk about how the political left, the Democratic left, they're all about violence. They're all about to hell with what anybody thinks, how anybody feels, as long as they get their point across. And I understand turnabout should be fair play, but here's the problem with doing that. When you answer their aggression with equal aggression, then all we got to do is go up higher. There's absolute, look, It's like being an open carry person. I don't understand the ideology, the mindset behind all that. Why would you be willing to let people know what your affiliation with anything political is? I don't understand. Why would you be willing to let people know that you are open carrying a firearm? You're making yourself a target by doing this. Now, look, let's be honest. Chances are if a loony leftist come up to your conservative truck or your conservative car or whatever, or your wife, chances are somebody would get a bullet in the forehead and it wouldn't be you. But why do we need to go there? Why do we need to go that high? We don't. Man, don't give these people ammo. Don't give them bullets. Don't give people a reason to mess with you. You know, if you're a MAGA, red, white, and blue, you know, yada, yada, yada. If you're all of that, then hey, be that. Good for you. I'm just saying, man, if you got a family, if you got people you care about, to include yourself, man, don't make yourself a target, because that is exactly what the FBI is doing. And the political left, they're looking for people like you and I to antagonize. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is not a good idea. If you go looking for trouble, and this is to the leftist, if you're going to look for trouble, you just might find it. And I don't think you're ready for it. So don't. But to protect us, to protect ourselves, man, get that hate out. Just, you know, recognize them for the idiots they are and move on. You know, Tammy or Roxanne Kirby says they need to remember the guns behind every blade of grass. Just saying. Absolutely. Nobody knows your backyard like you do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up. That does it for us tonight. Thank you so much for joining me for this extended episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I appreciate you tuning in on this hump day, because again, we try to provide a middle ground analysis, but even remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that a lot of people refuse to see. There are two different criminal justice systems in our country, and it's unfortunate that it it seems like it's been that way always, you know. But it used to be by class. The rich folks had theirs, and then everyone else. Now it's done by political party and rich folks. So, I mean, your average American, we don't stand a snowball's chance in hell unless we consider ourselves a minority. So next time you get pulled over, ladies and gentlemen, give them a try. Tell them you identify as a train. Or you know, if they say you was doing 55 and a 35, tell them I identify as doing 35. See how well that works. I don't know. It seems like that's the only way we can get around laws, if we just identify. So until next time, friends, thank you for your service, patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, and great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We're the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. And if you see a first responder anywhere, guys, give them a high five and a handshake and tell them job well done. We appreciate your service too. Guys, take care of yourself. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, right here. Guys, thank you so much. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.